We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order then. Everybody could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Lynn, if you could do the roll call for us.
Trustee Davis.
Here.
Trustee Doherty.
Here.
Trustee Dye.
Here.
Trustee Freckleton.
Here.
Trustee Haas.
Here.
Trustee Holness.
Here.
Trustee Howard.
Here.
Trustee Lloyd.
Here.
Trustee Labai.
Here.
Great, thank you, Lynn. Any public participation?
No, sir, no requests.
Okay. So before we get to the next item, College Council, I want to turn it over to Tom just for an announcement.
And first, I want to thank everyone for coming today, and this is obviously a very big day for the college. But before we move on to the business, I did want to make everyone aware that yesterday we lost a women's soccer player who tragically was killed in an accident. Erica Dane, local student here. So just thoughts and condolences to her family, and just wanted to make you aware of that that loss we suffered. So we did meet with the athletes, the women's team, and we have counselors. We had counselors available, and so we're working through it with the team. And want to make you aware, she's a local student from Seabreeze High School who was on our women's soccer team, and again, great talent and. Very, very tragic incident that took place, and so just keep the family in your thoughts. So with that, I don't know, Tim is... Okay. Isn't he presenting this next section, or... Yeah. Okay. We were going to have Ken Arton present this. Again, Brian has been working with them along with many of us here. But Ken Arton is the attorney we hired specifically for this project. And he's done many, many, many of these, most recently with a sister school down in eastern Florida in Brevard County. Did a pretty much identical deal in I believe it was Gary's Bank was the one that actually financed that project at Eastern Florida State. So it's been a pleasure to work with Ken. He's very familiar with this process of us going this and been a great asset. So he is in Tim's office downstairs on a call. So if we maybe could wait, give him a minute, and we will resume the...
Betty. So...
We can maybe do Section B while we're waiting.
Sure. Why don't we do that? Why don't we switch to Section B first?
Okay. We're going to have John Caney present Section B.
Improve the furniture here. Section B is simply to extend the lease on the off-campus housing that we have for the athletes till the end of next year, because we don't have the building, the dorm, ready yet. Simply carries it forward at the same terms as before.
So we would need a motion.
You said the same terms. There was a rate increase, correct?
Yes, there was a rate increase. The company that we sold it to, when we made that sale, we had made an agreement on the rates, which ends this May. And with the project being put on hold 1 year, we had to re-up. Since the time we sold it, it had changed hands again to a new group who owns it. And as you call, when we owned it, we kind of controlled the costs on that. Mm-hmm. So it was below market, and obviously... The new owners want to try to get to market, but we did negotiate down from where they originally were, but there was an increase to the amount.
Can I get an emotion
so
to
moved.
Approve? Second. Any questions or discussion?
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes.
And there's a second part to that, John? There's the lease and then the approval of the lease agreement. One was an addendum and one was... Or Brian.
The first part of the agreement is just to renew the lease between the foundation and the college because the foundation needs to own and operate it. So it's a similar agreement we had the year before, and we'll just take this through next year.
So the first one was with the apartment complex. The second one is between the college and the foundation.
Correct.
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Great.
Ken, you're up.
All right.
You can come to the podium so you can see. We do broadcast the meeting, so it's,
yeah.
Good to see you, Ken. You missed my intro. Again, this is Ken, but again, it's Ken Arden, who was hired to shepherd us through this project. And as I did share with the group, your many experiences in this space and recently with Eastern Florida State College, where you did a very, very similar arrangement, and that we actually have one of the bankers here from that bank that got that deal. So we kind of briefed them a little bit on the background, on your background and everything, and been a pleasure to work with. So thank you, Ken. So if you want to run us through these items.
Because the obvious conflict of interest. So.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was almost as pleasant as dealing with Gary's bank, but not quite.
Not quite. Right,
not
right,
quite.
Right, right.
Good afternoon. For the record, Ken Arden. I'm with the law firm of Bryant Miller Olive and representing the Housing Corporation today with respect to their financing of the student housing project. The Board of Trustees, before the Housing Corporation can borrow that money and finance the project, needs to evaluate the proposal that they received from it's really JP Morgan, but they're putting this loan into one of their subsidiaries known as DNT Asset Trust. It's a Delaware trust, and for whatever reason, they're choosing to use that subsidiary as the lender, but it is an entity controlled by JP Morgan Chase Bank. The term sheet that was submitted, I believe, was in your a proposal. It is a 20-year loan with a 10-year reset. We call it a put. The bank has the right to basically put or obligate the Housing Corporation to buy the bond back or the promissory note back in year 10. Until then, the note is bearing interest at 2.56% per year. And what happens in the put situation is they'll about 180 days out from the put date, the Housing Corporation has the right to send a notice to the bank. Would you like to continue to hold it? And if so, what are any of the provisions changing? And typically what you'll see is that it's their opportunity to evaluate the credit and decide if they want to basically cause us to move the loan to another bank or just simply adjust the interest rate. Oftentimes you have an interest rate provision change and everything else remains the same. And at that point in time, the bank or the Housing Corporation, if they don't like the new interest rate, they do have the option at that point to prepay the loan and of their own volition, move it to a new bank. So it does cut both ways. The loan is payable solely from the net revenues of the Housing Corporation. And to that end, all of the operating accounts of the Housing Corporation are basically held by J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. That means the debt service reserve fund, which is being funded in the amount of about $872,000, or a year's debt service, just in case something happens, and all the other revenues that come in from the students, the scholarships, all of that money will go into the operating account and then be used by the Housing Corporation to pay operating expenses, debt service payments. We've built in what's referred to as a renewal and repair fund, basically starting out at $200 per bed per year. It's set aside to keep the facility in good operation. You want to make sure that it's well maintained, so does the bank, so students continue to desire to live there. And then the money will flow down to the bottom of what we call a waterfall and sit in a residual fund, be available for any of the purposes that are needed to pay operating expenses, fund R&R, and it's just basically going to be a catch-all fund to hold on to any excess revenues. There will be excess revenues if we do everything correctly, because there is a covenant that we will set rates, fees and charges equivalent to 1.1 times coverage, meaning after all bills are paid, you'll at least have a 10% buffer. That is the bank's requirement. As you know from the review of the materials in front of you today, the state guidelines say, hey, make sure your projects are running at a 1.3 times coverage. Included in the package today, you'll see the operating pro forma for this project. While the banks required the 1.1, it is expected at the rates, fees, and charges that are proposed for the students that the project, while initially in the early years, will be below the 1.3. We quickly climbed to well above 1.3 times coverage in the out years, and then continue to meet and exceed the 1.3 times coverage in years after that. Trying to think of.
And we're actually requesting the board to approve that.
Yes, packet. You have to basically approve the after you basically evaluate the proposal, approve and allow and authorize the Housing Corporation to enter into the loan agreement. Now, the loan with the Housing Corporation is backstopped to some degree by the related agreements that you are entering into with the Housing Corporation. And I'll go through all of those, and then, you know, the approval can be all-encompassing. But as you know, you're going to be ground leasing the site upon which this housing facility is located to the Housing Corporation. The ground lease agreement is a simple real estate document that allows the Housing Corporation to build the dormitory on your campus. The support agreement is the primary reason we probably had J.P. Morgan agree to make the loan. What the support agreement says is if ever we should fall below the 1.1 times coverage, that you will grant scholarships to students attending Daytona State College in the number needed to get that number above 1.1 times coverage. And again, if we're successful with the occupancy rates, your standard policy of granting scholarships to athletes and everything like that won't exceed what you typically do, but the support agreement does say while you can't directly pay the obligations of the Housing Corporation, you can grant scholarships like you've been doing for years and years and years, and would basically grant those scholarships to meet that covenant. The other thing about the support agreement is the next agreement relates to the personal services agreement. The Housing Corporation is not going to have any employees to mow the lawns, empty the waste paper baskets, clean the bathrooms. We're entering into a personal services agreement with the college, so all of those services can be provided by the college. We don't create a second infrastructure or make the Housing Corporation enter into a management contract with an outside operator. This allows, you know, basically to avoid having those fees paid to the outside management company. But at the same time, you get, the college will get reimbursed from operating revenues, and they're built into the pro forma and is part of the 1.1 times coverage. So everything is designed to pay all bills and debt service and still have that coverage factor. But under the support agreement, one of the things that you also agree to do is that in the event the project falls below that 1.1 times coverage, that you'll wait and actually subordinate your reimbursement, which is set for quarterly payments during the year. You'll wait till the debt service is paid, and hopefully at the end of the year, you'll get reimbursed for those expenses after the debt service is paid. So it's a mechanism to basically protect a bank and make sure that they get paid with the revenues that are available to pay the debt service. Eventually, if there's, for whatever reason, if you've fallen below the 1.1 times coverage, so long as you don't fall below 1 times coverage, there should be money to pay everybody's bills. It just would affect the timing of your reimbursement at that point in time. So the in addition to approving the term sheet with JP Morgan and allowing the corporation to borrow the money, you're also being asked to authorize the ground lease support agreement, personal services agreement. One last note, these are the same agreements that were basically put before you back in September of 2019, if you can believe that's how long we've been working on this project. The agreement stayed remarkably substantially similar to what was presented to you and were approved in 2019, but now we know the bank, we know the interest rate, we were able to fill in all the banks or blanks, and we wanted to give the banks, in this case the JP Morgan, the opportunity to comment on those agreements. So what you have in your packets today are the final agreements that will actually be delivered next Wednesday when we fund the loan. So with that, happy to answer any questions.
And just one clarification that we discussed, I shared with the board, is the other option at the 10-year mark is we could also use some of the proceeds to pay down and refinance the remainder if that is the more prudent thing to do at that time. So that's yet another option.
And you can do a combination, pay it down and only refinance a portion of the debt that'll be outstanding at the time. So a lot of flexibility at that point.
Ken, the subsidiary that JP Morgan is using, do you know if they normally service their own debt or do they typically sell? I mean, I know you can't guarantee it, but do you know what their history is?
A loan like this is probably going to be held for a while, especially through stabilization. But I know from other loans of this, when the put provision kicks in, we're dealing typically with the same lender.
And then the scholarships, if it ever falls below the threshold, I assume the college retains discretion however they want to amount award as long as it puts enough people in there to get the ratio back up. So you could scholarship.
Yeah, we did not put any restrictions, limitations, or requirements on your scholarship program. And I know during the course of this, you know, I learned that the foundation does its own scholarship. So scholarships from any of those parties, you have full discretion over those policies.
Gary?
Yeah. Ken, I believe we had three bidders, or was it more other, you know, besides Jacob?
At the end, I believe the, we just had the one.
Had the one at the end.
We had two in the spring.
Okay, and then the one now. Okay, so all total. Okay. Yeah, and they...
Mr. Chairman?
The thing I would point out is, I'm sorry, it's kind of like having a 10-year adjustable rate deal with a 20-year amortization at the end of the day, but it gives us the flexibility without any potential prepayment penalty to do something in that 9.5 to 10-year range is basically what it does for
you. You know, you've got a very competitive rate on this loan. Compared to other loans being done for other projects. And I think the fact that other lenders weren't as aggressive in participating in this project, I think the pandemic had a lot to do with that, not knowing how higher ed in general was going to look. But to be honest, all you needed was that one, and J.P. Morgan really came through.
Yeah, I do think it's worth putting on the record that I wish the bank that we give our operating services to had at least considered participating. I mean, typically the bank you have a relationship with should be the bank that at least throws their name in the hat. And I think
I would agree.
I would note that they chose twice not to participate.
Yeah. Which, and then the yield curve right now, actually, we had discussed this as a housing corp, and I discussed this with Tim. You've got more of a spread these days between a 10 and a 15 and a 20-year than we've seen in recent years. So in some ways, we're probably benefiting from this. And when I looked at the spreads that they were pricing, that we would normally price these types of deals off of, I actually felt very good at being in that 250-something range, for a 10-year fix with a 20-year AM. So I think it's a very fair interest rate.
One more question that I didn't notice earlier in the term sheet. The tax gross-up provision seems very standard to me, that if it's the fault of the housing corp or the college, in essence, we would make them whole. If it's a change in tax code, we would not, or the regulatory environment. But then there's another paragraph that deals with yield protection, and they do throw tax code back in there. So which paragraph would prevail?
Well, it's not the tax code provisions that affect the excludability of interest. If there are other tax code provisions added that affect their yield, and I'm not quite sure how, which ones would apply. The one that comes to mind that doesn't apply here because we borrowed more than $10 million would be the deductibility of interest under Section 265, which is a tax code provision but has nothing to do with the exclusion under Section 103, which is where they get their exclusion for the interest on the loan. But if the Treasury or Congress made any changes to under the code that increase their cost of funds, they're passing that through is what that provision is dealing with, and how it's different than a determination of taxability.
Okay. Other questions, Betty?
Gary mentioned that there is no pre-penalty, but
there is prepayment penalty in the first 9.5 years or go
up
leading
through
up
the
to
mandatory
the
call date. The loan does have what's referred to as a make whole.
Okay.
So basically, if interest rates go down, the 10-year treasury rate goes down after we close the loan, and we want to prepay, we're allowed to prepay, but we have to make the bank whole in the difference that they would be reinvesting the prepayment money versus how much we were obligated on the loan. So if rates drop down to 2.3%, and we're at 2.56, we would actually have to calculate how much money they lost, because they lost the benefit of our bargain of receiving our 2.56. And it basically, it just keeps them whole until the 10-year mark. And it's basically, it takes any economic incentive for you to refinance for the first 10 years. And it basically just gives them protection that they have a 10-year deal on, you know, on their books.
Okay.
Any other questions? And are you, Brian, Ken, comfortable with one motion, or do you need us to approve them by item?
Yeah, I think because they're codependent, Mr. Chairperson, they're these 1 through 4, A1 through 4, I would suggest that we just approve them all since they are codependent.
Agree with that? Okay. Can I have a motion? For?
So moved.
Second.
Any other questions or comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then there's the one item that's information only that's in the packet, and that's just the amendment to the GMP. So really nothing other than informational. It's just the amendment that has more detail of what the GMP includes. GMP stayed the same, and so it's just information only.
Yeah. So that, you know, it's a bittersweet day. This is an amazing victory after many years. See that calm, very, you know, saddened by the news you shared with us earlier, and I know we will all keep the family in our thoughts and prayers as we move forward, but also look very excited to this new milestone in the college's history, and we'll be ready for the groundbreaking. So,
yes, I want to thank you. This is it's been a long time coming. Master plan that was, I think, created in 2015 and 16 by the trustees and our leadership group, plopped a couple potential resident halls on the master plan, and 6 years or so later, you know, here we are. So this will be congratulations to everybody.
Just a comment. I know that in the packet there are several contracts, and I know Perry McCall has worked with us, and I shared the concern that hope that we could have as many local and minority women-owned vendors, and I think in working with him that they have a good relationship with our community.
Yes, yeah, they've done a lot of work here in Daytona Beach, so they're tied in very, very strongly with our local.
Would be nice to know as we go along just how many are locally vendors and subcontractors.
Yeah, we get the information on who the subs are and all that, so we can certainly share those.
Didn't identify their location either, just had their name, but I didn't see.
I'd be happy to bring that back to you.
Yeah, we can show you that for sure.
Well, I would like to say thank you, Mr. President. We took 5 years from your life, and now we brought back 5 years. We took some hair off your head, but what the hell?
Thank you. Labor of love.
Tom, I just wanted to congratulate you and your staff for the outstanding job that you have done in bringing this together on such short notice, getting us together so we can approve it. So kudos to you and your staff, and like I always say to you, doing things.
Yes, no, super. I want to shout out to Tim Norton, Brian Babb, Marty, Elaine, Chris, Eric. I mean, it was a total team effort. A lot of extra hours. We were supposed to have spring break last week, and that really didn't happen for for us. But that's just the dedication. I think speaks the dedication of the team to see this through. It's a very interesting time we live in. So it just made the process a little more interesting than maybe in other times. So we really had to keep our eye on the ball every step of the way, and again, Ken was great to work with as well, and John, he's been supporting us as well, and had looked at those agreements, I think, way back when, back in September of 19, which is amazing that we looked at those, that we did those back then. So, super. Thank you. This, I think, will be a very important project that will impact this college for for decades, so thank you.
It's amazing to think that within 1 year almost that we'll have our housing. I'm just amazed it's going to take them less than a year.
Yeah, we hope to get the keys sometime in early May.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll all be here for it.
Yes.
Thanks, everyone, for your flexibility. And with that, I'll adjourn the meeting.